Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Go. Oh, favorite song in the wide world. Dream each night of some version of you that I may not have, but I did not lose. Okay, you know my birthday month continues. It just continues.
That's why
it
I played the song for you today, because we're celebrating you forever.
And I, by the way, today is my son's birthday. I love so much.
The when one does who, it become my birthday?
The one who made me a mother. Happy birthday to my sweet baby Jack. And for my birthday, I purchased two tickets to that show. And Jack said to me last night, which kid are you taking? And I'm like, leaning toward you.
You know, it depends
leaning
on how
toward
you act.
Leaning toward you. God, I love Noah. I don't know how to say his last name. Is it Khan? Is it Kayan? I don't know. I don't care. But I love him so much. And go back and look at that entire catalog of his work is incredible. And I've told all of you the song Mess is my mantra. It's my favorite song in the whole wide world.
It still doesn't make sense to me, though, that this song is called Stick Season.
And the lyric
the song,
is Season, of,
season
the
of the Sticks. Very confusing.
Very concise. Welcome into Dana and Parks. Scott will be back tomorrow. We have so much stuff today that I had to pull a piece of paper, like old school, and write it down in front of me. So
the
I don't
scratch paper.
Forget what we're going to be talking about today. There is a landmark Supreme Court case right at the very beginning of Monday, I think, is when they start
coming up on Monday
hearing arguments. And when I first read the story, it looked as if this affected California. But with the Supreme Court, as you know, this ruling is going to be final and it's going to end up trickling down to every place, including Missouri, when it comes to the never-ending back and forth over what to do with the homeless situation.
In the last couple of years, the state of Missouri passed a law stating that you cannot camp on state property that is not specifically designated for camping. And they said largely that not the state did not say this, but people who were against this bill said that it was largely targeting
the homeless
people.
Okay. Yeah. And so the Supreme Court is basically looking into, do you have the right to just put up a tent and be homeless? Or the flip side of that, do states have the right to ban that? We'll get to that today. Coming up in the 3 o'clock hour, I am so excited to have my friend Leo Warshawski in studio with several special guests. Leah is the woman who, with her husband Todd, brought us the documentary Big Sonia.
Okay.
About Sonia, the local Holocaust survivor. They started working on a new documentary several years ago about a surf guy in Hawaii named Bully. And he's got a surf school. And they were at the very end of filming the documentary, which was going to be just phenomenal, about this man and all he's done to help homeless kids learn how to surf in Hawaii, when the wildfires struck and wiped out Maui and Bully's home and his surf school.
Specifically Lahaina, yeah.
He will be in studio today. Where Whoa. Are we with Maui? Because this week I just talked to Jamie Monticelli about this. They just released the report kind of looking back and breaking down what the hell happened.
Well, yeah. And I mean, how many natives to that island no longer have a home and can't afford to rebuild because the property value has skyrocketed to the point that it's just not something they can afford.
So that is at 3 o'clock. I am so excited to have him in studio and to talk about his surf school and also the documentary coming up featuring him. And obviously, unbeknownst to him, he was the star of the documentary all the way through about just him and the surf school. Then the fires hit, and then they had to scramble and figure out, okay, now what do we do with this? It's a very different story now that he is homeless, lost his home, lost his school.
Did they rework the entire story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I remember saying to her, you know, you start out with documentary A, and man, did they end up with documentary B. And they are just brilliant filmmakers, and I'm so excited to see them because it's been a couple of years. They live out there. It's been a couple of years since I've seen her. We have a very difficult story in the stack that I'm going to try to bring you in the 5 o'clock hour regarding parental rights after the death of a child. And we first heard about this story yesterday. We needed 24 full hours to wrap our head around what was happening and how to best present it to our audience. That's all I'm going to say about that now. That's coming up at 5 o'clock, but please, please tune in for that. It's going to be one hell of a show today. I promise you that. We're going to start with a story that I found in the New York Times this week. And I know a lot of you listening are single. I'm certainly very, 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 very newly single.
Back in the community, per se?
Sort of, but not. Because there is no way in hell I would ever go on a dating app.
Oh, really?
For a variety of reasons, not the least of which is my job makes
your own personal safety.
Right. Yep. Talked to someone down the hall about that today, and she's like, I'm still getting calls from a stalker. I'm like, great. Yeah. I'm just going to be single.
Didn't mean to laugh. Sorry, not funny.
No, we're going to start with this story out of the New York Times because it has been 10 years since the launch of Tinder. And the article is called A Decade of Fruitless Searching, The Toll of Dating App Burnout. So 10 years after the launch of Tinder, there are some long-term online daters. I don't even know how that exists in the same sentence. And they say endless swiping has been bad for their mental health.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. We're going to start with 28-year-old Abby, who has been on dating apps for 8 years, bouncing between OkCupid, Bumble, Tinder, eHarmony, Match, WooPlus, Coffee Meets Bagel, and Hinge. A committed user, she can easily, she says, spend 2 or more hours a day piling up matches, messaging back and forth, planning dates with men who seem promising. But the reality is, she is over it. The swiping, the monotonous getting to know you conversations, the self-doubt that creeps in, they write, when one of her matches fizzles. Not a single long-term relationship has blossomed from any of her efforts.
Well, she's been practicing this for 8 years and is not building strong connections and probably lost the ability to do that.
People are going to ask, then, is this her? But listen to this. Abby is a financial analyst. Asked to be identified by only her first name, obviously, because she was harassed by one match, and says she has regularly felt pressured to do things on those dates that maybe she would not normally do. A 2020 Pew Research Center survey found that 37% of online daters said someone continued to contact them after they said they weren't interested, and 35% had received unwanted sexually explicit texts or images. Yet despite it all, Abby feels compelled to keep scrolling. I feel burned out, said Abby, who is now contemplating spending up to $5,000 to work with a matchmaker. And we're going to talk about that this hour. Up to $5,000 to work with a matchmaker. And we're quoting here from Abby, it really is almost like this is a part-time job. And so I ask you, if you've been on the apps, how long, how exhausting, and why do you continue to do it? Kansas City is not that big of a space. And so I'm not on the apps, but I liken it to Facebook, where they are constantly saying, here's someone you might know, and you haven't been friends with them on Facebook the entire time you've had Facebook, so why would you be friends with them now? But they keep pushing you toward a small group of people that you're not friends with on Facebook. the dating apps are going to be the same way. There are only so many singles in someone's like age range that are out there in this town. And so why, with the fatigue and the time and the scrolling and the swiping and the safety issue is a big one for me, why do people still do it? That's question number one. And then question number two, would you or have you hired a matchmaker? I have a friend who did. And then another friend of mine has two girlfriends who did. And all have had decent results. But it is expensive. And when we get back, I'm going to tell you why it is so expensive.
I'm sorry, but after 8 years of trying the same failed process, has she not considered deleting the apps and, I don't know, going to a bar?
Oh, God.
I know it's not the same landscape that it used to be.
I mean, the bar is a creepy, weird thing, too, isn't it?
I wouldn't disagree with you, but you don't have to try that hard, I guess. And a lot of it is assuming that you need every single contact to stick and become a relationship.
But you are saying that as someone who has a girlfriend. You are not thinking with the old Sam brain. And were you ever on the dating app, Sam?
I met her on Hinge.
Oh, my gosh. What is Hinge?
It's just a dating app. So it's one of the dating apps, though, that's more catered towards actually dating.
Okay.
Tinder calls itself a dating app.
It's a hookup app.
Not a dating app. Yeah.
So I don't know any of this, nor will I ever, ever, ever dip my toe in that water. Ever. It's a non-starter for me.
But I also never once met up with someone that I contacted on a dating app that I hadn't already had contact with.
Really?
Yeah. So I met up with one girl one time and we had a college class together and I was like, hey, I know you. What's up? How you been? And then my current girlfriend, she had been a fan of a concert series that I had emceed and she was like, hey, I know you. We should hang out. And that is how it started.
And that's how it started. Mm. It's also expensive, isn't it? I mean, can't you spend hundreds of dollars a month on all of these apps?
You can either do it free.
And aren't the same people on all the apps? Like, if you're on one, aren't you on the other one?
Typically, yes. You can do the free version, which then you have a limited usage. So, like, only a certain number of swipes per day, things like that. Or you can spend. I have no idea what it would cost. Okay, but you can buy a membership.
Listen to this from a friend of mine. I have a friend that is constantly using the dating apps, and he says it's almost an addiction. Sort of like using other social media apps. Once you start, it is really hard to tear yourself away.
It is 100% about the immediate dopamine and satisfaction of swiping right and getting, you've got a match. Yeah.
Okay, that's the other thing. I have a super addictive personality. There's no way I am going down that road for that reason. I could name 100 reasons why I'm not doing it. I'm asking our audience to tell us why you do, because the 10-year anniversary of Tinder is here, and these matchmaking services are starting to become very popular around the country and right here in Kansas City. 913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. All right, let's go. Talking about the 10-year anniversary of Tinder and why more and more people are starting to move into traditional matchmaking. Instead of swiping, you pay $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, and they promise you so many dates, compatibility, they promise you a certain income range, they can promise you background checks so you don't accidentally go out with a serial killer. And I was talking to my friend Nikki about this today from the Ponch and Nikki show, and I could not believe that you actually went on dating apps and talked about it on your show.
Oh, totally. Look, it's hard out here, so I have to give it a try.
Was it a nightmare?
Oh, my God. It is a disaster out there. Now, I'm telling you, girlfriend, get ready. It is a hot mess dumpster fire when it comes to dating. People, you don't know their intentions, especially with what we do for a living. Do they want to get to know us, like the real us, the down nitty gritty, you know, bun on top of our head, no makeup, morning breath, how we really are? Or do they want to know the voice that they hear? Like, you know, there's levels.
100%. And you know, Nikki, you and I are a lot. And I have had people very close to me that I trust and love, you know, with great jobs. One of them's a lawyer. One of them's a venture capitalist. And they all say the same thing. You are a lot. Like, yes. we love you, but you're a lot. And like,
but there's nothing wrong with that. Like, we own that.
Right.
We
I absolutely
own
it.
We got where we are.
I remember saying to Scott when I was gone for a week, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much did you miss me? And he said, Dana, it's always with you, either a 1 or a 10. I either miss you so much, I want you in my life back right now, or it's a 1. Get the hell away from me. I've had enough. Right. And so,
oh yeah, there's no in between.
But did it work for you? And why would you not do a matchmaking service where it's a little more discreet and you're not bouncing around out there with people that you don't really know their intentions?
You know, it was wild. I left a very serious relationship, and I had heard a couple good stories about dating apps. My sister being one of them. She found somebody on a dating app. They were together for years. It looked like it worked for her. A couple of my girlfriends, same thing. So I'm like, you know what? Why not? And why not I just turn this into a bit on my show?
Because of course.
Everything in our life is content, right? So it became Nikki's Next Ex. Fantastic name, right? I went out on dates. I played this whole thing out live on air. Every guy had a nickname. There was Coffee Guy. There was a Duck Hunter. I kept their privacy. You know, I respected that.
Sure.
But I gave them nicknames. And it was a mess. It equated to me getting a stalker. Yes, a stalker.
For real?
A man who texted me.
Oh, gosh.
For real. Who texted me for 2 years without a response. I never responded it. And the man still randomly will send me a text. I have not responded to him in years. So get ready, sister. Get ready for the fun. And find out somebody, you know, you're going to run into somebody who wants to wear your skin.
Quoting here from a CBS News article, please don't wear my skin. Blake Newby, a busy young professional, has experienced her fair share of disappointment and frustration. Quote, it felt like a hamster wheel. I was on all of the apps, Hinge, Tinder, Raya. She names a bunch I've never even heard of. And she ended up going to a matchmaker who's, in this case, specializes in creating connections for young Black professionals. But there are matchmakers out there, Nikki. You know, I don't think for broadcast professionals, it would be a very small brief
pool
of people. But you know, you can set, like, you would prefer someone that plays pickleball or doesn't drive a muscle car or likes classical music. Like, you can literally have them narrow it down for you. But it's expensive.
Now, see,
I've heard it's expensive.
I've never done that. This was literally my only experience with a dating app was that one time, and I think it was Hinge. And I was like, never again will I do it again.
And you will never do it again.
No. I'm never going to do the dating apps again. No.
You want to go out? But I mean, you and I could just go out.
There we go. Dana and Nikki. New hot couple.
New hot couple. We'll start a podcast. Well, listen, I'm sorry it didn't work out for you, but I'm happy just for your safety because I love you so much that you're out of that game.
Well, I love you too. Are you going to try the matchmaking?
I don't know. We'll see.
I mean, I think that sounds much safer. And I mean, if you know, they're vetting them,
you know what my therapist says is safe? Being single.
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Nikki, I love you.
I love you.
That is Nikki from Ponch and Nikki. I'll see you tomorrow morning, girl. We're going to the Go Red for Women thing tomorrow. I'm super excited about that. Let's go to Tiffany in Kansas City. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Dana.
Hello.
Okay, so I'm not going to try to pressure you into doing dating apps. I just wanted to say that I started on dating apps, and I say apps, I really only did Plenty of Fish, but I pretty much did what matchmakers do for you. I put a long, extensive about me section, things I was interested, gave men a plethora of topics to start a conversation with. And then at the end, I listed my negative traits and said, if any of these are deal breakers, don't message me. I said, if you want to start a conversation, don't send me a, hey, what's up? Send an actual good conversation starter.
Right.
And anyone who didn't do that, I didn't respond. And
Tiffany,
it helped weed out
a
lot of them.
What about, hey, what about that election? Where were you on January 6th? That would be a deal breaker for me. Like if you replied Washington
really? Inside
the Capitol. I'm just saying that would be a deal breaker for me.
Well, but see, here's my logic is that the reason, you know, people who say, oh, you might get a psychopath. I'm just as likely to meet a psychopath at a bar or
right.
at a church as I am online.
Well, amen. Amen to that, sister. And thank you for the call. I have more than one person in my life, more than one person in my life who has been drugged in a bar. More than one. And so I'm not saying, you know, you don't ever go to a bar, but that stuff is out there too.
Watch your drink.
And so is herpes, but that sticks around longer.
Whoa.
I'm just saying. We're trying to get a
match. I think it went away and it came right on back.
We're trying to get a matchmaker online. We're going to see if we can do that for you. 913-586-7798. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Welcome on back. I knew, before we even go to Stephen and Olathe, I knew what he was going to say before I even looked. As we're talking about this New York Times article marking the 10th anniversary of Tinder.
And specifically one person who's been using these apps for eight years.
I know what he's going to say before he even says it, and it's a fair question. Stephen, go ahead.
So I think that she's way too high strung. I feel like she has gone all the way through high school, all the way through college, and now it has ended up on these garbage sites of, you know, people who are in different countries searching for money or, you know, trying to get your information, and maybe the occasional real person who may be or may not be a creep. And, you know, all of the men that she passed by because she was too high strung, and she's now saying, hey, guys, I'm available. They're saying, oops, sorry, not interested. I moved on long ago. I have a wife and kid now. Or they have settled into their lives and realized that they just like being a single man who doesn't have the problems of a married life.
Or Stephen, is it possible that the expectations that you set are too high? If it's been 8 years, is it possible? And I'm not saying you lower your expectations. I'm really not saying that. But maybe you...
And that's kind of what I meant by high strung. Maybe I said it wrong.
Yeah, I don't think
high
you mean high strung. Yeah.
Or high expectations or high strung or unreasonable expectations. I mean, sometimes I'll see these TikTok videos where women want to meet a guy who makes $500,000. And you know what? Sorry, hon, but... There's not a lot of people out there that do that realistically.
Let me tell you right now, I think that's totally fine if you make $500,000 as the woman.
He said to me, by the way, they're looking for a unicorn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone with no kids, no strings, wants exactly what you want, has a high income, like
and
all
I'm sorry,
those things.
If you're in your 30s and you're looking for that perfect guy, quote unquote perfect,
right,
whatever that means, he's probably already been snatched up.
I also had a woman tell me once that it's the most difficult statistically for women between 40 and 50. Follow me here. And if you agree or disagree, you can text us or call in. Because all of the single men in that age range are dating down. They are dating down to the 30s, 35-year-olds. Whereas I think statistically women are more likely to date in their own age range or up. And men are more likely statistically to date younger. Tell me I'm wrong.
That's pretty accurate.
And so one of my girlfriends said, like, I would love to meet a guy my age. They're all dating people 15 years younger that still want children. 913-586-7798. Let's go to Candace in Leavenworth. Hi, Candace.
Hi.
Hi, go ahead.
So I met my husband 22 years ago on a phone dating line.
On a phone? a phone dating line.
Yeah, so it was kind of like you're texting back and forth, but with your voice. And, like, yeah, you could go on there and listen to what the guys said or whatever, and then, yeah, see if you want to talk to them.
And so just based on the voice? Now, that's interesting. That's almost like a game show where it's like, we're going to show you a little bit about this person, but, like, you're not going to get to see them. You can just hear their voice.
Yeah, 22 years ago, and we're still married.
That's cool. That's very cool, Candace. Good for you. I don't know. Because you could have a really great voice and still be a serial killer.
Okay.
I'm sorry, you could.
There is a legitimate conversation to be had about the expectations on both sides of the gender aisle, though. From the text line, I am a guy who's not 6 feet tall, and I don't make 100K. I get eliminated from basically every dating option because of that.
Do they ask you your income?
Height is huge and income is huge. Dating apps do not ask, but I guarantee you it comes up in the early points of conversation.
No. Hey, what do you like? Do you like this movie? Do you want to go do this? I like to play golf. How much money do you make? There's no way that comes up.
Or you can just tell by their habits.
Watch and choose, lady. Watch and choose. Doc and Cameron. Hi, Doc.
Hey there. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. And I remember several years ago hearing of some people that had a service and they were a professional wingman and say, maybe I'm not the most special guy in the world, but I go out with a beautiful woman. And then over the course of the night, maybe she goes to the restroom and somebody says, are you with that guy? Oh, we've been friends for a long time, but we just have never taken it there. You should get to know him. He's a great guy. Come over. I'll introduce you. And they did it both ways, and maybe a guy went out with two gals. He had two wing people.
Oh,
with
come
him.
On. You don't think that's a little weird?
How about all the other stuff you're talking about?
Touche. Touche. Absolutely. I get it.
The hierarchy of weirdness when it comes to dating.
I will post the article featuring 28-year-old Abby from the New York Times on our social media pages. But let me read a little bit further into the article. 2020 Pew survey found that 12% of Americans have married or been in a committed relationship with someone they met online. 57% of those who said they had tried a dating app said overall their experience was either somewhat, if not very, positive. But another survey in April of 500 18 to 54-year-olds, whoo, concluded that nearly 80% said they experienced emotional burnout or fatigue with online dating.
From the text line, money and height absolutely come up. I'm a single guy, 5'4". When women find out I make under 60K a year, they immediately say, I don't like short guys.
Oh, no, that makes me sad. Let's go to Ray in Shawnee. Hi, Ray.
Hi. Well, okay. So there's also some truth to that, because I know there was a company, and maybe it still exists, where you could purchase fake ATM receipts that had high balances on them.
Oh, my gosh!
You'd meet a girl, and then you'd go in your wallet, and you'd just pull out this piece of paper to write your phone number on it. You give it to her, and she looks at it later, oh, he's got $100,000 in the bag. I'm going to call him. How is the business?
All right, that's funny.
Ray, couldn't you just type that up on your own on Google Docs?
You get a good Photoshop skill, sure, but these look like real ATM receipts.
Yeah, I don't know that we need Amazon for that. Wow. As Scott would say, shallow as a kiddie pool. Shallow as a kiddie pool. I'm trying to find some more about cost. They talked to another woman who's 40 named Shanice Silver. And in the end, she said the dating apps took her time, her money, and her energy while giving her nothing in return. So in 2019, right before the pandemic, she deleted all three of her apps, a decision she described as kind of an epiphany that was the, quote, culmination of a decade of misery. The improvement in her mood, listen to this, and her energy levels was swift and profound. Before she deleted the app, she says, she spent any moments of downtime swiping after she found she had time throughout the day to rest and do other things. She realized that she had feelings of anger, resentment toward the happiness of others, and emotionally, physically, and mentally was drained by existing in a state of constant anticipation. And let me tell you this. One of my very best friends just texted me and said, those apps don't want you to match up with somebody. Because once you match up with somebody,
you stop using the app.
You are no longer a customer.
Well, that like Hinge, the one we were talking about earlier, their entire motto is the dating app built to be deleted. Now, I do have an interesting question, or at least it's interesting in my mind. I'm not going to deny the prominence of creeps out there, but do you think the assumption that all guys or gals are creeps and there for bad intentions clouds the expectations?
No.
You don't?
Maybe. Because you hear one bad story. Is that what you're talking about?
You hear 500 bad stories and you assume that there's no such thing as a good story.
Sure. I think I live in that space anyway, the scare space. Someone coined that term in front of me yesterday and I go, oh my gosh, the scare space. Yes, we live in our business in the scare space. And does that make it more likely that I am much less trusting of people? Probably.
From the text line, I met up with a dating app guy for dinner once. He had teeth in his pictures.
Okay. Greg and Shawnee. Hi, Greg.
Hi, Dana. I just wanted to share that I am 59 years old, and me and my girlfriend have been together now 4 years, and we met on a dating website that's not one of the more popular ones. In fact, it gets a lot of bad reviews, but it's called Plenty of Fish. And we actually met, and she is my age. So there are guys out there my age that are looking for women of the same age, and it can happen. It does take a lot of shifting through a lot of bad experiences to find the right person. I dated like 16 women for like one single date or whatever, went out with one woman for 3 months, another for 1 month. Me and my girlfriend met, hit it off instantaneously after about 2 years of being on the websites, and now we're celebrating our 4-year anniversary.
Good for you, Greg. Good for you. And wait, real quick, how much do you think you were spending a month?
Oh, gosh, probably. I would only go out maybe once, twice a month, tops. So we just go for coffee. And, you know, just to get to know one another initially. And then, like I said, most of them, honestly, were one and dones. But I did have like two or three different ones that we dated for a month to 3 months. And
then, hey, Greg, happy for you that it worked out. Truly, truly. And I want Jackson in Overland Park to hang on. And then we have another story coming straight ahead in Overland Park about a bird that flew into a net and got stuck. I cannot wait to bring you guys that story. We will wrap up our online 10-year Tinder dating app anniversary conversation straight ahead. You're listening to Dana and Parks. Wrapping up our conversation about the 10-year anniversary of Tinder and the fatigue out there with online dating. And then please stick around for our in-studio guests this next hour. They are documentarians that brought us the gift that was the documentary Big Sonia about a local Holocaust survivor. They are now set to release another documentary, this one about Maui, about the wildfires, and an inspiring story about a man who lost everything. And has really dedicated his life to helping children, even though now he finds himself needing help since the wildfires in Maui. And that's coming up straight ahead at 3 o'clock. Let's wrap this up with Jackson in Overland Park, who has a man's perspective. Jackson, thank you for it.
Hey, I love your show, by the way.
Thank you.
I'm a daily listener. And I have been on Hinge and a couple of dating apps for a while. And yeah, the cost wise, it could cost you around, you know, there are $90 for 6 month subscriptions, and they have a different subscriptions, different price point will get you different things.
Huh.
And, you know, I'm a 30-year-old single. I make six figures and businessman, and I run my own business. So, at first, you know, it was quite, you know, you kind of get the likes and you get excited and all that. But then after you match with somebody, you just start talking. And I just feel like a lot of times is waste of time because of as a guy, and we have to sort of you know, think of like the pickup lines or think any kind of response or any thing to send to the lady. And then they have to basically back and forth. I found myself a lot of times talking to a lady for probably, you know, a few days.
Yep.
And then sometimes we just stop talking. Or I have gone out with ladies from the apps the past years and a couple times.
Yeah.
Different ladies. And I always end up spending a lot of money on them and, you know, didn't get really going anywhere. So now I kind of just stop using it because of, I think, a lot of it's just my opinion.
Yeah.
I don't
but Jackson,
think
wait.
I'm going to
stop you there because our last caller was also male, mm-hmm. and it didn't even occur to me when I said to him, how much do you think you spent mm-hmm. a month? He thought I meant on dating and going out, like for meals. Mm-hmm. I meant how mm-hmm. much. So from a woman's perspective, do you understand what I'm saying? I really meant how much did you spend on the apps? And both men who have called in have said you're not talking about the apps cost. You're talking about the cost of taking someone out to dinner, which has to add up.
Yes, the apps, you know, you can do the subscription. It could cost you, you know, $100 for 6 months. That's not a lot, but if you have like two or three dating apps, you also subscribed, then that could cost you quite a bit. You know, for someone like me, that's not a lot of money. But for, you know, people who makes it a little bit lower, it could cost a lot.
Hey, Jackson, thank you for the call.
I've heard from many women who, especially in their college years, would use the apps quite literally for a free meal.
No, they did not.
Yep.
No, they did not.
They would suffer through an hour and a half of a, you know, date that they were not interested in having.
How
would eat
bad
their
do
dinner.
You want to go to Red Lobster? By the way, might be filing for bankruptcy. How bad do you want to go eat on the plaza that you would just randomly go out with somebody that's insufferable for an hour?
He pays the bill. He tips the waitress or waiter.
Now that makes me mad because you have to remember I am a mother of daughters, but I am also a mother of sons.
See you
that
next time.
That makes me mad.
And then they ghost him. Oh gosh, I had a wonderful time. Thank you so much. Crickets.
Oh, come on,
looking for
ladies.
The next free dinner.
We need to be better. We need to do better. We need to be better. Please stick around for our live interview, which is better than a not live interview, straight ahead. We have four people coming into studio to talk about the greatest documentary. It's a live interview versus the other kind.
We reached out for comment. The dead man didn't have much to say.
He didn't respond at all is what happened, Sam. I cannot wait to share with you the documentary that is about to be unleashed called Bully's Surf School. And this comes to us from the exact same filmmakers that brought us The Gift that was Big Sonya. And I actually asked Leah today, are you going to bring Sonya in studio today? And she said, no, that's too many people in one studio. But we're going to try to get Sonya back on as well, because it's always just a gift to have her in here and tell her story as well, which is so impactful. Oh my gosh. We are surrounded by greatness in Kansas City. We really, really are. We will be back straight ahead with that. Quick break for the news, 913-586-7798 if you want to text in questions for our guests. You are listening to Dana and Parks.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at kmbz.com.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.